Welcome, everyone, to an episode of Talk with Jordan, the episode with Talk with Jordan. I am very honored here today to have with me Amy Katz Kenigsberg. She is, you could probably say more directly, but CEO, am I mistaken?
Actually, COO.
COO of K2, a international PR firm, and helps generating many different leads for companies all across the world. So Amy, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are in today's episode? You know, we're going to talk a little bit about international communications and how to kind of generate leads and generate international communications while staying at home, especially during these corona times. So Amy, why don't you just share with us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're about, and kind of what you guys are focused on.
Okay, sounds good. So I'm Amy Katz Kenigsberg. I am co-founder and COO of K2 Global Communications. We are an international agency based in Israel. We're focused on helping our clients generate more marketing and sales qualified leads using a combination of inbound marketing, PR, content, and social media.
Awesome, awesome. So basically you hit all the various levels of the media realm, from digital to PR to whatever it needs to be to get your clients out there. Now, you know, I guess, you know, one of the main things that I want to talk about is kind of like this whole idea of what it is to do PR during this day and age, you know, when everyone's at home. And it's, you know, frankly, I mean, it's just hard to get things done. You know, people are not able to travel. You're not able to meet journalists. You're not necessarily able to do all these things. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So as everybody is aware, COVID, in addition, anyway, I'm not going to go there. The end of trade shows over the past year has really affected a lot lead generation for a lot of companies. Trade shows were also the main place that a lot of business leaders met journalists and analysts in person. What we're advising companies on is to use those budgets that they once spent on plane fare and hotels and booths to apply to what's called the peso approach. This was coined by a PR. That was coined by a PR person named Ginny Dietrich, and it stands for paid, earned, shared, and owned media.
Paid, earned, shared, and owned. Okay. Peso.
Yes.
Nice.
Exactly. So paid would be Google AdWords, LinkedIn advertising, paid search engine optimization. Earned is what is traditional PR. That's either interviews with the media or thought leadership content contributions to the trade journals.
Okay.
Shared is social media. And owned is your own own website and blog.
Now, also, when you say shared, is that implying other people sharing your content, or is that just you actually going out there and sharing your content online and making, you know, buzz that way?
So basically it starts with you sharing your own content online, hoping that it will get retweeted and shared by your followers.
Got you. Got you. Okay. So basically just, you know, the idea is you put it out there, they hopefully share it. Got you. And then owned, you're saying is like the actual content that you control, whether it's a blog or it's or some podcast, let's say, right? Or something along those lines that you can actually control and put out there.
Exactly.
Okay. But obviously they all have somewhat of a symbiotic relationship, right? You know, the paid kind of feeds off of the fact that you're sharing and you have owned, you know, content that you can put on the shared sites. I mean.
Yeah, basically Peso follows the reduce, reuse, recycle model. Okay. Which is, let's say you create a piece of content that you submit to one of the magazines, you know, now a website. Sorry, I'm using old fashioned lingo. It's published on the website. So what you can do is you'll share it. You'll put the link within your owned media or you'll put an excerpt in your own media and then say, you know, as seen in, and then paid will be check our article out at this magazine, you know, within a Google ad or a LinkedIn ad. So it's all very symbiotic.
Got you. Okay. Now, so in terms of like, let's focus on this type of content sharing for international PR, right? Because I feel like specifically speaking, PR is a bit different than, you know, in terms of its scope is a little bit different than lead generation, right? Obviously PR helps with lead generation, you know, but let's focus on that. So, you know, in this time, you know, when people really haven't been able to, let's say, sit down with journalists or meet people, how have you kind of, you know, what do you see as the trends or at least the best practices in terms of getting people's ventures out there or ideas out there to the press and to kind of the digital publishing realm, we could say?
Got it. So over the past year, a lot of the mainstream media has gone through what the trade journals had happen about 10 or 15 years ago, where there used to be 10, 15, 20 people on a publication. Now they're down to like 1 to 3, which means they are desperate for objective content. So when we're promoting our clients, we tell them to take what we call a four-pronged approach to PR.
Okay, and what is that?
Number one is getting your company news out there. You've signed a deal with this person, you've launched a new product, you've got a new version of X, Y, or Z.
Okay.
The second approach is now more formally called content marketing, but when we started 16 years ago, we called it news you can use.
I like that and too. That's also clever.
That also, I actually learned that in journalism school.
Oh, nice. Very cool. I like the idea of news you can use. That's a good one.
So it kind of takes thought leadership to the next level. Instead of being an opinion piece, it's more of, this is your job. Here are the ways that you can do it better, easier, faster, cheaper. And that kind of content is always welcome because it's very practical.
Right. It's stuff that, I mean, it's easier for people to digest, I feel like, right?
Exactly. You know, 5 ways to improve your podcast, 10 ways to write a better thought leadership article, 15 ways to streamline software development. You know, it's all very practical. Do this, this, and this, and you can achieve a goal.
Right. And it's easier for people to also then understand that and then apply it themselves.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. The third thing that I would say 99% of the time gets coverage is reports and statistics.
So kind of the numbers.
Exactly. And so, for example, if we have a SaaS client, we say, okay, you need to create a report that demonstrates the issues that your clients are dealing with, or usage statistics, or, for example, a cybersecurity company, what kinds of threats have been most active this month, because that kind of data has automatic news value.
Right. Okay. And also because it's kind of, you know, rooted in truth, right? I mean, it's rooted in base facts, statistics, no one can argue with it. And this is just, it is, it's good.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So we had a client in the past, we actually did the analysis, and no matter how we did the math, once they started issuing quarterly reports and monthly infographics, their PR coverage went up 300%.
Wow. 300%?
Yes.
Just on reports and kind of like the, almost what you might consider the boring stuff is what got them the growth.
Exactly.
Wow.
So what we recommend to clients, even startups who are still in stealth mode, when they are designing their software, build in some easy way to pull general reports, because they will, whatever money they're spending on the development side to get that integrated into the system early on will pay off, you know, 300-fold when they can then pull a report and post it on their blog, on their website, in the media, saying, you know, these are the changes over the past quarter, this is what we've seen in the past month, and it's a great investment in their PR future.
Awesome. Awesome. That's really interesting. Okay. Now, so what's the final prong?
So the final prong is that journalists are exceptionally overworked and they don't have time to do the legwork that they used to do. Mm-hmm. So we come to the journalists with a full package. And what I mean by that is, let's say your client has just implemented something very complex.
Okay. Some new feature.
Some new feature into their system.
Okay.
So the supplier, we go to the journalist with, here's an interview with the supplier. Here are comments or the supplier's expertise. Here is the project manager who helped implement the project. Here is the CEO of the company who implemented the project. And here is an industry analyst who can discuss the industry's need for this kind of technology. So you go to the journalist with every single source they could possibly need and package it up nicely. And there's a fine line between saying, you know, here's all this stuff, just take it and you don't have to write anything, to I've put this package together for you. And if you want us to give you more content, we'll be more than happy to. But meanwhile, here are all the names, phone numbers, and calendar links of the sources that will help you best with this story.
Got you. Now, do you ever in those situations, you know, when you're kind of, I would say, you know, what is it, hand feeding this to the journalist, is there ever a situation where you might, in a sense, just even suggest writing it, you know, all for them, basically, you know, maybe with a few different things, or at least having them, you know, maybe instead of sending them the calendar link, you know, sending them just quotes from the people?
Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll do the quotes as well. But, you know, kind of put it at the bottom, you know, we've got some quotes from them about this issue if you want to just do that, or, you know, feel free to speak to them directly, because you don't want to do their job. You don't want to insult them and say, well, you know, we don't think you're going to do a good job. But, you know, you want to try to make it as easy as possible without being insulting.
Got you. No, that makes total sense. So this kind of four-pronged approach, you know, in terms of, you know, getting the whole market and going out there and getting your recognition that, you know, you deserve, is this also what has been working in, let's say, 2020 specifically, a very weird year, but, you know, kind of in the stay-at-home vibe, is it also working very well there?
Oh, yeah, because they're, you know, it's actually kind of funny because many journalists have been working from home for quite a number of years. When we first started our agency 16 years ago,
right,
we used to have what we call leverage your plane ticket tours.
And what does that mean?
Which is, if our client was going to be in New York for business meetings, we'd ask them to stay an extra day and we'd set up meetings with three or four journalists in their offices.
Uh-huh.
And about 5 or 6 years ago, those tours went away because so many journalists ended up working from home. They didn't want to, you know, have to get dressed and go to a coffee shop.
Wow.
So as far as the journalists go, this year, the working from home hasn't been as different, but what has been very different this year is a lot of the staff cuts and the uncertainty, as well as the fact that in mainstream publications, COVID was the story for so long that things still may not have appeared. For example, we had a client who did an interview with someone from Bloomberg last March.
Right.
And then suddenly that reporter got put on the COVID beat and she's still on it. So, you know, that client's interview, while it's still very relevant, may not ever see the light of day.
It might never get published, basically, because of the news cycle.
Right, exactly. So that's where things have been very challenging. It's more in the mainstream media this year. Because the trade journals still, you know, have to publish.
Right. I mean, it makes total sense, right? Because in a sense, the whole news cycle can obviously upend anyone's interest in anything else, right? You know, if everyone's focused on COVID, no one cares about the newest, you know, software feature, unless it's the newest software feature for a COVID detector app, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, yeah, no, I totally understand that. But it's funny to see that, you know, in so many ways, I think a lot of people would almost think that only now has PR, journalism, whatever, you know, the kind of the symbiotic relationship that is there. A lot of people would think that, hey, it's 2020, now it's getting really screwed, just like the rest of the industries are. You know what I mean? It's like everything's kind of going home. But what you're saying is that kind of journalists almost had the leg up on everyone. They were already at home. So in a sense, you guys have already been prepared for this from the get-go with your four-pronged approach, with the whole idea of the peso idea, right? So, I mean, it kind of works well with you. Now, do you see that changing in 2021? Have you guys come with a different type of strategy moving forward? Or are you kind of just going to, you know, see what the playing field throws at you?
Right now, what we're doing seems to be working. What is much more useful and common now than it used to be. There used to be a methodology that in the industry was called spray and pray. Mm-hmm. And that's where you would send, you know, 500 journalists, 100 journalists, your press right. release, and keep your fingers crossed that someone would see it and write about it.
Right.
Now it's a much, much more targeted approach. It's Joe at Space Journal is writing about this, this, and this. Our client fits into his beat this way. So we will write to Joe and say, Joe, you've been writing about X, Y, and Z. Our client fits into what you're writing about in A, B, and C. There's very little spray and pray. Like magazines have basically shut down their new product sections.
Right.
Because that was a very labor intensive job. Just, you know, you'd get like 20 to 50 press releases in a week. And you'd have to write up, you know, all the new products. And there's just no time for those kinds of activities anymore. It's very much, okay, give us a report so we can publish that easily. And otherwise, give us a real story that is exactly what we're writing about generally now.
Got you. That's interesting. You know, so what in that sense, what tools, and I'm sure this kind of also relates to, you know, your lead gen strategy a little bit too. So I'll lead into that. But, you know, what tools then are you primarily using when you're reaching out for PR opportunities?
So what we're doing is there's different proprietary software companies that PR agencies buy from. There's Muckrack, there's Cision, there's quite a few others. And basically, you know, they provide the media database, like we'll put in the keyword and we'll pull out, you know, okay, these are the reporters covering this topic.
Right.
And then we'll determine who the best one to reach out to. But outreach now is still via email. Some is via LinkedIn, some is via Twitter. So often we'll get in touch with the journalist on social media before we send them a message. You know, and say, hey, we have this kind of story for you. Do you want to hear more?
Right. I get that. That makes sense. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of baiting them into it in that sense, in that like initial email. Right. Now, in that sense, you know, how does the PR work that you're doing lead into the lead gen work that you do for a lot of different clients? And how do you see that, you know, being impacted this past year?
So some of the clients have seen enormous growth. You know, especially cybersecurity this year with work from home.
Right.
You know, companies that were putting things off, or our cloud clients, for example, companies that were putting things off about moving to the cloud are suddenly having to, you know,
move to the cloud. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So on the lead gen side, we're really still focusing on, you know, the practical news you can use. And one of the ways to do that actually, especially on social media, for example, is promoting content that promotes your message and doesn't mention a competitor. But again, that's going to be useful to your followers.
Right.
And make them realize, oh, you're a useful company. You have good information. And then you intersperse with your blogs. And then they go to your website to read the blog that you posted about in social.
Right.
And a lot of times before that blog actually ever hits the client's website, we've tried to place it in one of the trade journals first.
Right.
So it's very much a symbiotic relationship of, you know, it's going to appear here, it'll be promoted there, it'll be reprinted here. And with enough exposure, people are going to say, oh, wow, this is really good. Let me see more about what that company has to offer.
Got you. Got you. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, is there any tips you would give to entrepreneurs right now in the space looking to kind of get their own PR out there?
Number one, reports. Even if you only have three clients, you can say 30% of our clients are doing this because the media is desperate for objective information that is not salesy.
Right.
So that is number one. Look at your software, figure out what you're selling, figure out what you're doing, and figure out a way to generate reports from the information that you're doing.
Right.
The other thing we're also focusing on is telling our clients to really look into the account-based marketing, where it's what's in it for me, for each person within the buying chain, and determine what topics are going to get their attention. So, for example, if you've got a cybersecurity company, what the CEO needs to hear is very, very different from the database administrator.
Right.
Now, it's the same exact product, it's the same technology, but they're both going to get different things out of it. And that
right.
also drives PR, because you may take one news you can use article and write it for the database administrator. You might write another news you can use article for the CISO on how to sell your cybersecurity plan to the board.
Right. And then you could take it something totally different for the guy who's not even in the company, who doesn't know anything what it's about, just to even introduce him.
Exactly. You
know? Right. Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. And is there anything else you would add to that, or not so much?
Let's see. What's in it for me? Peso, account-based marketing. Reports, 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 and also be patient, because some of these journalists are getting, 200 to 500 email pitches in a day.
Right.
So they may get to you eventually. Or, for example, we had a client that we had introduced their concept to a journalist in January. And in November, the journalist wrote to us and said, I remember I got your message and I remember you guys talk about this. And, that's 10 months later.
Right.
So it really is persistence over time, and patience is critical.
Right. I agree with that entirely. I mean, I think sometimes a lot of us get a little impatient, especially when we're all cooped up at home. Right. So totally understandable. Amy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I think you gave a lot of useful insights, especially in the world of PR, something that I myself am less familiar with. So I feel like I personally gained a lot out of this. I very much, recommend you and your services at K2 to everyone who's listening to the podcast, and to check you guys out. We're going to list your LinkedIn on the description for the episode so people can find you that way. And just thank you so much for offering your insights and for being on the episode.
Great. Thank you so much. It was really fun. And if anybody has any questions, we're more than happy to answer. Just bounce some ideas off of us, because you never know the valuable stuff you're actually sitting on.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much, Jordan.